is the word of the Lord. Jesus is with believers, and that sounds promising, but right away they challenge him. We are descendants of Abraham, and we've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean when you say we will be made free? Well, in saying this, they obviously neglect history. They were slaves in Egypt, and the Babylonian exile helped to define who they were, and now, even now, they are under Roman occupation. So they are surely God's people, chosen. We know that. But they're living in this kind of national myth of their own righteousness and neglecting their responsibilities. In fact, they are so angry about this challenge to the fact that they have a place in the world, that they are looking for an opportunity to kill Jesus because what he was speaking was counter to the national narrative. They were angry because they were self-interested. Kill? Why? Jesus says, because there's no place in you for my word. These are good people. In our own day, they would be people you'd see at the Oakwood or wave to at the ball game or chat with in a downtown store, like us in some ways, bound by tradition, subject to bias, tied to group affiliation, subject to peer pressure or public extremes. Maybe they lacked exposure to diversity, as sometimes we do. In fact, since this is a campaign season, consider Jesus as a campaigner for the kingdom of God. Folks really like the signs and wonders, but his message seemed to ask a little too much. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Really? His campaign advisors would come to him and say, you know, this stuff about blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, pure in heart, that's not really going so well as a platform. Show them more about the water into wine trick. Yeah, let's have a little more Cabernet and a little less charity. Already somebody in the crowd has taken out a marker and made a sign which says, we have Abraham as our father. There's a neat story. A grandmother and child have showed up at the airport. They have a ticket in coach, but she asked whether she could upgrade and is told at the desk, I'm sorry, there's not room up front for you. So she nicely takes her seat in the back. Well, when they're about ready to close the door, the flight attendant notices them and says, would you and your grandchild like to come up to first class? There's room now. We have two seats. So they take their seats, and then momentarily they hear a scuffle of some kind behind the curtain, and a man and woman push aside the curtain and make their way up there and say quite boldly, I'm sorry, you're in our seats. Well, the flight attendant is right behind him. I'm sorry, you were so late. We've given your seat to somebody else. You'll need to come in the back. There's plenty of... No, we paid for these seats. Do you know who I am? He dares to say. And the flight attendant has no idea, but the grandmother says, I think I know you. I don't think so, he says. Yes, we met at a company gathering in Boston. You work for the company, he says. Well, not exactly. Then your husband works for the company? Not exactly. He is the chairman of the board. We'll take our seats in the back. You enjoy your flight. Jesus counters their claim of Abraham as father by saying, I come straight from the chairman of the board, as it were. Now, the good thing is we can laugh smugly at that story because we like all the things that come from it, the humility, kindness, justice in the end. So that makes us true disciples, right? If you continue in my word, the scripture says, you are truly my disciples. Continuing in the word, what does that mean to us? Well, the class we're about to initiate on the 11th is a good chance. It starts with reading. We'd read at home, and then we'd come together and talk about what we've learned. Thinking, perhaps even writing might be part of that. Discussion. Now, discussion is important. We can read on our own, but discussion opens our eyes. I was in a meeting with ministers. It was right before Christmas when the person assigned the devotional began to read the story of Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. I kind of tuned off and thought of something else. And then the person who was reading said there was no room for them in the inn. The person who was reading was black, and he heard no room for them in a way that had skipped my attention all those years. He opened my eyes. And on another occasion, somebody was talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I had used Gethsemane for as long as I had read in the Bible, and suddenly he said, Gethsemane, of course, in the original language means the olive press. And suddenly that picture of Jesus sweating drops of blood had new meaning, the pressure being so great that in that place he, like those olives, was giving up his very life. Being part of discussion is different. I remember the Hickses, M and Zach. They were conservative. She would always say, now, you know, I'm of the old school. Maybe I've told you this story that when Jean and I were being interviewed for this job, we sat at a round table, Jean next to the wife of this couple. And when the server was coming to take wine orders, this woman reached over to Jean's glass, turned it upside down, and said, of course she won't have a drink. She is our pastor's wife. Didn't know Jean, obviously. Being old school and in poor health, they had to move into Decatur, and they got an apartment, and they discovered that the people who lived upstairs were gay, two men, and she was upset at first, and months passed, and it was those two men who came down and did their grocery shopping and brought them meals, and she said, they are such lovely people, because we continue in the Word, and we experience life, and we learn from science all those lessons that help us read Scripture differently. And that is what it means to be a Presbyterian, part of the Reformed tradition. We reform because in the light of new knowledge and old wisdom, we learn. We become better people, more attuned to what is going on. A man wrote me a letter. He said, almost 10 years ago, I did some work at your house when you did renovation. He said, somehow you paid me in advance so that I could buy materials. And when the job was over and the smoke cleared, I realized I had been overpaid by $1,000, but I was new in the work, and I excused it because of all the weather interference. And now, 10 years later, I have 5 children, and I'm a member of a church, and I can't live with that anymore. Here's my check for $1,000 with my apology, and if it's not enough, you let me know. It was the word that called him back to his best self. I returned the money because, like he, I have been forgiven so many times. And we must be careful when we consult the Word, because sometimes it can be used for the wrong purposes. We can quote things to suit our situation and not from the big picture. John Calvin, the father of Presbyterians, taught us to be reformed and always being reformed, and that means being in God's Word. How will that happen for us? I hope you'll join the class, but certainly get a handout so you can read at home and build in accountability. Have a partner in this, somebody who will keep you honest. Maybe have a time and place, because that's often helpful if you have a chair in your house where you always do this and the Bible remains right there. Or in this age of technology, you can use the radio or some recording device. Find a way, your way, to continue in the Word. To be a true disciple, we must. It'll be work. I don't want to kid you. It'll take some effort on your part. But in the end, it will be worth it. Because, as Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word of God. In a moment.